Chapter number 16, if you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go back to Luke chapter number 16. Going to begin reading in verse number 1, if the Lord will be our helper, and maybe read down through verse number 13. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Therefore, you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so let me read that verse 14. I think that's the key to this whole chapter. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and Lord, you know my inadequacy and my inabilities, and I say it every time I get up. I cannot preach unless you preach through me, Father. You are my sufficiency. You called me and put me in this work, and I ask you to help me now. I ask you, Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, anything that I failed to deal with, please forgive me and make me a vessel of honor for a few minutes for your glory. And Lord, I know tonight we run the risk of having a lot of distractions in the auditorium. I ask you to help us with it, Lord. Please just help us. God, I ask you to steal anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit. God, do the work in our midst that needs doing. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified. And when we leave tonight, may you have been uplifted. May you increase, and may we decrease. Have your way, Lord. Help me to say what you want said the way you want it said. And I'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning we looked at the rich man and Lazarus, and tonight I want to look at what I call the prodigal steward. If you look in chapter 15, you have the prodigal son, but when we come to chapter 16, we have the prodigal steward. Now, in the context of what's being said, Here's the gist of what's going on. The Pharisees are acting very religious. They're putting on the front. And by the way, there's a lot of folk, They just act godly, and there's nothing to them. And I tell you, I don't believe there's anything that disgusts the Lord more than pretense, than trying to be something that you're not, or acting like you're somebody who you're really not. And really, who they served was money. Notice verse 14, and the Pharisees also who were covetous. They heard all these things and they derided him. He said in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. He's talking to the Pharisees. They're trying to serve money, and then they're trying to let on like they're serving God. And he just told them, no servant can serve two masters. For either he's going to hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he was just very blunt with them in verse 13. He said this, you cannot serve God and mammon. He just spit it out. And so in context, that's what we're looking about. We're looking at. We're looking at this. My Bible title calls it the unjust steward, the prodigal steward, whatever you want to title it. But it gives us the repercussions of not serving the Lord and not doing right with our money in context. And then we look down at the rich man and Lazarus, and we see a man who made a god out of money, and it cost him his soul. And he's giving both those lessons to the Pharisees. He's saying, you can't serve me. If you're putting money ahead of me, you can't serve me. And if you're not careful, your money's going to send you to hell. Now that's the lesson in chapter number 16, or that's the context of what's being said. But I just want to slow up tonight, as I did this morning, and start in verse number 1 and just kindly work my way through. But I want to say this before we get started. God's people are stewards. Now if you're saved tonight, you're a steward. And this, I'm convinced chapter 16 is primarily dealing with money issue, but there's other things that God has entrusted us with. We're stewards. Now, what is a steward? Maybe some of these young folk might not know. I looked up the Strong's. I'll give you my definition in just a minute. But the Strong said a steward's a house manager. That's what it said. If you look up that word, that root word means a house manager, an overseer, a fiscal agent. That was all in the Strong's, in the Greek lexicon. But let me say it to you like this. I think it'll work for our purposes. It's one who has responsibility for the goods of another. Now let's stop and just think about that, because that's really where I'm headed tonight. It's one who has responsibility for the goods of another. And here's what I want to say to you before we even get started. If you're saved, you're a steward. Every one of you have been given a work to do of some kind. God has given you things that He's going to hold you accountable for one of these days, and you'll have to stand before Him, and you'll be responsible, and you'll be accountable. And here's what the devil tells many folks: you're not important. You're just a little somebody in this work of God. But I want to say, in God's eyes, your stewardship is just as important as anybody else's. And you need to understand that, because we're going to look at some lessons here regarding that. So first of all, God's people are stewards. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us the most important thing about stewardship. It says this: it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It doesn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found talented. It doesn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found successful. It doesn't say it's required in stewards that a man have a charismatic personality and he can influence folks. Here's what it says about a steward, that if you're going to be a steward, it's required of you to be faithful. Now, can you do that? Is that a possibility for you? Now, if I were to say this, it's required in stewards that you win 10 souls a year. Some of you would say, I can't do it. Or if I were to put certain demands, but if I were to say to you, it's required that you just be faithful. You know what I think the Lord's saying? In this stewardship I've given you, you can do it. There's not a person in this room, I don't think, that would say, I just can't be faithful. I just can't do it. I can't be faithful. We can be faithful. You say, well, what about those that work on Sunday? They can be faithful when their job does not demand that they work on Sunday. They can be faithful as they can be faithful. And so I want you to just kind of get in the mindset of this thing of stewardship. Now, I want to say this. I said this morning, I know it hit kind of a stump, but it's still the truth. All we have belongs to the Lord. I want to tell you, you don't own anything. He's just letting you borrow it for a little while. You say, oh no, my bank account's mine. No, he just give you that money for a little while. He's going to take it back at death. That's right. You ain't going to take it with you. Pile it all up. Build it up. Amass you an empire. Can I tell you, the Lord's just letting you borrow that for a little while. And you know what He's done? Those of you, the more He's give you, the more you're going to be held accountable because you're a steward of that money. Well, amen. And I said this, and I think I just ought to say it again. It's good to give 10%, but you ought to ask God what you ought to do with the other 90%. Well, it's so. You look at me and stare at me, but it's so. It's all God. I believe you ought to tithe, and I'm all for the tithe. But can I tell you, God may give you that money to use for His glory and His honor. He may want you to give more than 10%. He may want you to give more than 20%. I don't know. But here's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's all His. Everything you have, it's really His. He just loaned it to you. And my, if we could get that mindset, and it's hard, because you think it's mine, and I'm going to do what I want to with it. I'd be very careful about that. And so, talking in the money sense, it's good to pay your tithes, and you ought to, and you're sinning if you don't. I want to tell you, that other 90%, you ought to seek the Lord's will on that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, let's go on. In our text that we're looking at, this steward was not faithful, but he was wasteful. He was a wasteful steward. Let me just stop. And this is going to be, may not get many better points than this. Wasting the master's goods was grounds for dismissal from stewardship. Wasting what the master had entrusted him with was grounds for dismissal. My, that's a sobering thought when you think about it. Now, I want to ask you this. Has God blessed you financially? I know sometimes I've heard some of you tell me the battle you have with faith promise and how you wrestle around with that. Would you rather be on our end or on Africa's end? You'd rather live in a little grass hut somewhere and let somebody send the missionary over to you and you just eke out a little living? You'd rather have a pot full of money and give a little of it out to somebody to help them get over there to give out the gospel? I don't know about you, but I know what end I want to be on. That's right. I'm telling you right. And so, I'm just saying to you, what we have God is going to hold us accountable for what we do with it. Number one, you say, as children of God, what are we stewards of? Well, I've already told you material or financial money, finances, material wealth, whatever you want to call it, we're stewards of that. God's going to hold you accountable for what you do with your money. I believe that. Number two, God's going to hold you accountable of your time. What you do with your time. We don't ever think about that much. You know why I think a lot of people don't have any time? Because they waste what God gives them. He don't bless them. He doesn't bless their time. Won't you tithe your time and see what God do for you? Might give you more. God's give us a life. I'm 57 years old. If I live the 70, I've got 13 more years if I'm lucky to make it that far. And really, God's going to hold me accountable what I do with that 13 more years. Let's just say I make it to 70. I'm going to be held accountable. And I may just blow it off and just act like, Brother John, when I think of this message, I just thought about you, and I'm not trying to pin you down, or I hope it don't embarrass you, but Brother John's a school teacher. He has, is it 2 months or 3 months now in the summer? How much? 2 months. He has 2 months. He don't even have to work a job. He's got 2 months. He can do whatever he wants to do. Within his finances and within his budget. Do you think God's going to hold him accountable for that time? Brother John, can I tell you? I think he might. You see, I'm a full-time preacher, and y'all can't do like I can do, but God holds me accountable what I do with my day. One of these days, I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to say, hey, I give you all the time you needed to. I give you 7 days a week to do what I want you to do, and here's what you've done with it. Folks, you better not discount this thing of accountability of our time. I really think that's more important than money. I've never had a problem with this church and money. You know that. When I'm talking to you about the other 90%, I don't care about that. I'm just telling you how it is. I mean, I'm not trying to squeak another nickel out of you. We give, and we're giving church. I don't have a bit of problem. I ain't a bit concerned about that. But I do get a little concerned about time sometimes. Nobody has time to do the Lord's work. They don't have time. You'd give me $100 before you'd give me 8 hours. As a rule, and I know some of you wouldn't, but as a rule, you'd give your money before you'd give your time. But can I tell you, you'll give an account. You're a steward of your time. You. God has given you time for you to manage for His glory and His honor. Well, you ought to be able to say amen, or old me or something. I don't know, but that's right. I'm telling you right tonight. God has given you a certain amount of time, and you'll be held accountable what you do with it. You can play it away or waste it away or sit on the couch and watch television away, but somewhere we'll stand before God and give an account of our time, how we've spent it, that He's given us. Amen. What about God giving opportunities? Sure we will. What about your gifts and your abilities, your talents? About you preachers and your ministry. We got 4 or 5 in here. And I just hate to tell you, fellas, you're no different than me. You're going to give an account one day. If you've not taken it serious, if it's just been a secondary occupation or a secondary endeavor or just a casual undertaking, you'll answer to God for it one of these days. Church, it's the same way with us. If we're just casual in our efforts, I'm going to tell you, it's a sin not to do your best for God. I believe mediocrity in the Lord's work is a shame and a disgrace and a sin to us. And you may look at me and say, hey, he's mediocre, but I'm trying to be the best I can be. Amen. I'm not saying you'll be the number one or the top singer or the top Sunday school teacher or the best there is, but my, you ought to be giving it your very best you can give. I've heard it a thousand times. You can always do better. Well, do as good as you can do. That's what I'm saying. We'll give an account. We're going to give an account of our God-given opportunities and our abilities and talents. Some of y'all can sing, and you know it's pitiful in the choir tonight. We just had a handful, and I know we got folks vacating and different things, and I understand all that. It's just that season of the year. But my, if you could sing, you should have helped us tonight. And you know, you just think, well, I just ain't going to do it. But one day we'll stand before God and you'll get to tell Him why you didn't tonight. And I'm not trying to be mean. I don't. It's not going to be any skin to me, but it is going to be to you. We'll give an account. That's all I'm saying, church. I don't know. It sounds like I'm sitting up here feeling like I'm being mean and y'all are feeling beaten up. And I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just trying to get you to see we're going to give an account. If we have abilities to do and we don't do and God's give that to us, then somewhere that means we're a steward. He's entrusted us to manage that, oversee that, take care of that for His glory and His honor. I ain't even gotten to the text. I'm just kind of lining this up on this. And then what about the truths of the Word of God? I constantly feel pressure to water down my convictions. You say, who from? Not necessarily from you, but I'm talking about from out here, out in the religious world and amongst the brethren. They can do things I can't do. And I really don't understand that. Brother Kearns, I don't understand if we're serving the same God and have the same Holy Spirit and we're all trying to be sensitive and want to know what God wants out of our life, why some have so much more liberty than others and much more freedom to do whatever they want to do and yoke up with everything in the world. I don't understand that. But we're going to give an account of our stewardship of the truth of the Word of God. You know what? This church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what we're supposed to be. And then if we sell it out, what does Proverbs say? Doesn't it say buy the truth and sell it not? Yeah, that's it, brother. You know what I see a lot of churches doing, they've been entrusted with the truth. They're selling it out to have a big number. They're selling the Lord out just to have a big crowd, a big congregation, and so they can go off and brag about how God's blessing. God's not blessing. They've sold God out to get where they're at. I'm telling you, and it looks like they're getting by. I heard a fellow say one time, yeah, we've got the people and you just keep doing your thing, but we're the ones that's got the people and we're preaching to them and they're listening to and I just thought about that. Yeah, we could have that too if we'd water down the truth. You think I'm not smarter? You know how you have a 1,000-member church? You look at somebody with 2,000 members and do half what they're doing. You think I couldn't mimic somebody to achieve what they have? But you know what I'm gonna have to do one day? I'm gonna have to stand before the Lord and give an account of the truths that He's revealed to me. This blessed old book. And you're gonna have to too. Some of you know things you ought to do and you're not doing them. And you I you could preach, I could preach my brains out, and I still, you wouldn't do a, you wouldn't move a peg. You'd amen me and whatever else, but you wouldn't move a peg. But I'm telling you, you'll stand before God one day and give an account. Oh my, that's serious. That's serious. What I'm talking about, the reason I'm saying all this, what we're talking about tonight, I'm not just trying to have a message to get through the Sunday night. I'm trying to tell you that you, what God's given you, He expects you to manage for His glory. And if you don't, you'll give an account one day. Young folk, I want to tell you, God's given you a work to do. Young folk think they're left out sometimes. God's got to work for you, young folk. That's right, and you better take it serious. You better do your best. You better not let mediocrity creep into your life, but do the very best you can for the glory of God. And so here's what I'm trying to get to you, get before you as we go into chapter 16. And I may not get that far tonight, but I want you to understand, you're a steward. Every one of you. And so we're going to look at an unjust steward. And if we fit where he's at, we may be unjust. And if we're serious about serving God, we need to learn from him so we don't do what he does. I want us to begin, and he said also unto his disciples, he's talking to his disciples, but really he's talking to them, but he's sending a message to the Pharisees. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man. Have you noticed in chapter 16, them three certains? Verse 1, there was a certain rich man. Down verse 19 again, there was a certain rich man. Verse 20, there was a certain beggar. You say, preacher, what's the importance of this? This is not a parable. This is not just a little fictitious story to make folks, to get across a little point. This really happened. This really was a steward. This was a man that was given control of another man's goods. And he abused that privilege. Well, let's read about it. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he'd wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear, this of thee? Give an account. Give an account. Give an account. One day the Lord's going to say, give an account. Give an account of thy stewardship. But then notice this. For thou mayest be no longer steward. For thou mayest be no longer steward. And really, I could turn over to Romans 14. I think I'm just going to do that. Let me read just a verse to you. I've got three passages. I'll read one of them. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? But here's what I want you to get. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12 of chapter 14 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Think about it, Brian. Brian Williams, I called you to preach such and such year. What'd you do with it? Did you take me serious? Did you seek my will? Did you do what I told you to do? Why'd you water down the message on such and such? I'm just picking on Brian. He's the first male over there I saw, but you know, that's all of us. You're going to give an account. And see, I can get up here and preach to you, and you can put on a facade, and all you got to do when you're unfaithful is say, preacher, I just wasn't feeling well. And I say, boy, I hope the Lord's helped you, and I hope you're doing better. But see, God knows. God knows. Brian, to go back to you, God knows if you're taking your ministry serious. He knows if you're taking your godly parenting serious. He knows if you're taking your giving to God serious. And you know, I think you are. But the fact of the matter is, everybody in this church knows how to fool the preacher. You could just twist your words around a little bit. And you know, like if you meant, well, I just wasn't feeling good. Well, I don't feel good most of the time. I mean, a lot of times I come and I don't feel good. That doesn't mean we're not able to go to church. And I know sometimes you feel bad and you're not able. And so when you tell me that, I just have to assume it's one of those things that you felt so bad you just couldn't come. But really, God knows. Well, I had to work. Well, maybe you did, but maybe you just chose to work. But see, it don't even matter about me. And I know it maybe with some of you it does, but you could just tell me I just wanted to get a little extra money Sunday, a little overtime pay, so I could go on vacation. And you know, really in my flesh, I in some ways it doesn't matter. It matters because I'm your pastor and you're unfaithful to God, but as far as man to man, I don't have to answer for you. I guess I will as your pastor, but as far as a man, I don't have, you're going to answer to God. Here's what I'm saying. When we first start looking at this fella, he had to give an account. And I can't put the soberness that I feel in my heart towards standing before God and giving an account. I've been in this church 14 years. There's 55,000 houses in Blount County. I should have put the gospel on every door, and I haven't done it. I don't have anything to brag about, church. I may be the blackest sheep in the flock as far as that goes. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I know this, we're all going to stand and give an account one day, and it's going to be sober when we do. You say, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. We'll not only give an account of what we do, but we'll give an account of our motives. Did you do that so you'd be sane? Did I preach that so I could just stir you up and see a great big emotional scene? Or did I do that because that's what God gave me to give to you? You're going to give an account, first of all. We see that right off the bat. There was a certain man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Now I know, I'm going to slow up just a little bit and say, I know we're going to give an account at the judgment seat, but our stewardship's finished then. Actually, in this particular situation, the man still had a stewardship and was placed on the shelf. I think about Brother Blue's message with them being here. It's kind of ironic. The shelf. Maybe you remember his message on being put on the shelf. And he didn't bring up this point. I just wonder if wasting the master's goods is not grounds for being put on the shelf. All this fella done was waste his master's goods, according to verse number 1. You know what the master said? You can't be a steward anymore. You wasted your time, you wasted my money, you wasted my time, I should have said. You wasted my talents I gave you, you wasted my abilities, you wasted my truth, you was not a good manager of any of that. So on the shelf you go. No more steward. That's what happened here. You reckon that's why the Lord doesn't use lazy people very much? I don't know. I read that, and he still had a work to do. And his boss, his master, said, "You're through." I don't know if that scares you, but that scares me. I don't want the Lord to take my stewardship away from me. Here's what he said. "Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." And I think I could say it like this. You give an account of your stewardship. Otherwise, if what I'm hearing is right, you're not going to be a steward anymore. And then the steward said this. You would have thought this unjust steward would start making up a lie. That's what I would have thought. I would have thought he would have said something. He would start thinking, "Now what can I tell him to convince him I've done the right thing?" But he didn't do that. He knew he was caught. He knew he was caught. What if God brought you into account right now? What would you have to say? He knew he was caught. And here's what he said. It's most unusual in my mind. He said this, "What shall I do? What am I going to do? I'm caught. I'm guilty. I'm still steward right now, but if I don't justify my actions, he's done told me I'm no longer steward." Now here's what's happened. He's been a steward for a good period of time, but now he's just got a little space of time left. Now, I'm getting ready to make a point. That's why I'm saying that. He's been a steward. It don't tell us, but I'm guessing he's been a steward for several years, would you think? And now he's got to explain his actions, and he better justify himself, or else he's no longer a steward. Just a little bit short time. Just a small amount of time that he still can do anything. And he says, "Well, what am I going to do?" Now, what's the answer for that? What is the answer? What am I going to do? He could have said this, "Well, I'm caught. There's no use. No use trying to do anything. There's not just a little time left. And what can you do in just a little bit of time?" He could have said this, I've already messed up and there's no reason to try to correct it. It's too big a mistake. No, there ain't nothing to do. He could have said, "Well, it's all over." But no, that's not what he said. He said, I've got this little time. What can I do in this little short amount of time I've got left?" He has just a little window of opportunity. He's already made all the mistakes, but he's still got just a little window of opportunity to do something. Does that sound like anybody? You reckon there's a lot of God's people that's just wasted some of their best years? Wasted what God's blessed? Can I tell you, there's been people could sing like, I'm just going to use this old phrase, like a mockingbird. You've all heard that. I grew up. That's what they can sing, like a mockingbird. And they sat on the pew week after week and month after month and year after year and wouldn't even sing in the choir. Can I tell you, they wasted. They're an unjust steward. They're an unprofitable steward of that particular gift God gave them, or ability, whatever word you want to use. But I wonder, maybe even amongst us, if there's some... we've wasted a better part of our life and we've just got a little short amount of time to do something. What do we do? That's my question. What do you do? I mean, here you are. You've already wasted it. You've done messed up. You didn't take the Lord's word serious. You didn't even consider that all that financial blessings, it's God that give it to you and He might want you to use it. His word. You didn't even consider the ability to sing or the ability to teach young folk or whatever it might be. And You just wasted, but now you got just a little window. What shall I do, he said. For my Lord taketh away. He hadn't yet, but he's getting ready. He's taking it away. Lest he can justify himself. For he taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. He's thinking. He said, man, I just can't do anything else. It almost makes me think he's old to dig. He said, I cannot dig. It makes me think he's an older man, that physically he's just unable to do. He's unable to work like he'd have to work to make a living. But then in verse 4, he said, I'm resolved what to do. He said, I'm resolved. That means to know. That means to feel like you know, to have knowledge, to be sure, to understand. Here's what he's saying. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I've just got a little bit of... I can't make but one or two other decisions and I'm out of the stewardship, but I know what I'm going to do. He said, verse 4, I'm resolved what to do that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Here's what he's saying. I've got to have some... Down the road, I'm going to have a need. I'm not going to have any income. I'm going to have somebody that's going to be my friend that's going to take me in and look to help me, give me a place to stay. And so here's what he's going to do. His time's running out, but he said, let me say it this way. I'm going to use what I have to prepare and make my future what it ought to be. I'm going to do the best with what I've got to make my future as profitable to me as it can be. I'm resolved what to do. And when I put out the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses. And so here's what he said. I'm going to cut their bill. I'm going to cut their bill. He knew he needed some friends for the future, so he's going to do them a favor, so they'll do him a favor. He's going to now, instead of wasting the master's money, he's using the assets he has been entrusted with to protect his future. Do you see a spiritual application in that? Whether it be our time or our money, we may not have long, but do you think, you might say, well, it's such a short time I've got left, it doesn't matter. It does matter. God can take a short time and do a great work with it. That's right, I'm telling you, right. He knew he needs some friends, and so he's going to use this money to win their friendship and favor. By the way, look in verse number 6. The last part of verse 6 says, take thy bill and sit down quickly. He redeemed the time. That's what he did. Can I tell you, you may have wasted your whole life, but you still got a little window of stewardship. If the Lord hadn't set you on the shelf yet, you still got a little window. And you know what you ought to do? What God's blessed you with, you ought to put it to work for Him to lay up treasures on the other side. Get as rich as you can in eternal treasures. I mean, we really don't have long. God, you know as well as I do, the Lord could come any time. Why stockpile it? Take what you've got, what God's entrusted to you, and prepare for eternity with it. Lay up some treasures on the other side. That's what he said. That's what he done. Well, what's the master going to think? Now, had I been the master, I might have said this. You wasted more of my money. That's what I'd be thinking. Hey, I caught you and you went out and spent more of what I'd give you. What I'd entrusted you to manage. But let's see what the master said. So, well, first of all, verse 5, he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, said unto the first, how much owest thou unto the Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down, write 50. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And verse 8 is where I want to get to. It would have made me mad if somebody wasted more of my money after I caught him already wasting. But I want you to notice what the Lord did here. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, he didn't commend him for dishonesty. He wasn't commending him for unfaithfulness. But he was commending him for seizing what opportunity he had and using what he had left. He was commending him for redeeming the time. He told those folks, hey, write it out quick. Do it quick. I'm getting ready to be out of here. Do it quick. And he commended him for using the money for profit, for his own profitability. That was smart on his part. It was smart. Notice what else it says. For the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. Now it did say in this generation. And the children of this world is not wiser than children of light in regards to eternity. We know that because they're going to die and go to hell. But here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say in this world, there's men that work harder. Ronnie, I'm going to pick on the building industry. They work harder at building houses than God's people do at serving God. That's what he's trying to say. They work hard. Hey, I used to know a family. Everybody in that family, all the males were auto mechanics. And they worked at the dealership. But guess what they did when they come home and eat supper? They had a garage out back. They went out back. I might not ought to say it. Somebody might see it on the internet. But they went out back and they'd work on cars till dark. And they'd get up the next day and they'd do the same thing. And the next day, they just loved it. It was their life. You probably know folks like that. I mean, they just couldn't get enough of it. They work a job for the day, come home at night after supper, they go out there in the garage and they work, and I don't remember, but I suspect they probably raced a little and whatever else they did, but they worked hard. What I'm trying to say, they worked hard at what they loved. Do you know it's a shame that the world works harder achieving the goals they want to achieve than God's people do at accomplishing what God wants us to do? Shame on us. They use their time wiser than we use our time. They take advantage of their opportunities more than we take advantage of our opportunities. That's what it's talking about. That's what he's saying when he says that. The children of this world are in their generation, not in eternity, but on the earthly, they're wiser than the children of light. My. Why is it we've got the greatest work in the world and we're just casual about it? Just so casual. If we can get time, we'll do it. If I'm working in, preacher, I'll be at visitation Thursday night. But I may have to cut the grass. What's more important? Trying to get the gospel to lost sinners in our county or cutting the grass? Why don't you try to work the grass cutting in? I'm just asking. I got to cut my grass too. I've got to rototiller my garden like you do yours. We'd kill ourselves to get our gardens out. But we can let a runny nose keep us out of church sometimes. I'm not trying to be ugly to you. I know all of a sudden I'm realizing this message may be kind of hard on some of you, but it's what God gave me. I've got to be faithful to give it to you. Verse 9. He tells us this story, and then the Scripture tells us some things. It makes some statements. Verse 9. And I say unto you, this is the Lord, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now really, here's what I think. If we could go through all them words, but here's really what it's saying. Use your money to make friends for eternity. You all remember Jimmy Rose's message he preached on missions out of this. That money we spend and see those souls saved, that'll be folks that will be our friends in eternity. Of course, everybody will be a friend. I understand that. But the point he's trying to make is this. Use your money to benefit people eternally. And use your time to benefit people eternally. And use your gifts to benefit people eternally. And use the truth to benefit people eternally. That's what he's saying there. And then verse number 10. He says this, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And here, you know, so many times, here's what I think. I think people take the little work God's blessed them with, the little stewardship, and they minimize it and say, well, it's nothing, and they don't even worry about it. Why, that's just a little nothing. It won't matter whether I do that or I don't do it. It does matter. And really, I'm just going to say this, if you're not faithful in the least things, you won't be faithful in much. If you've got an unfaithful, and some of you may have seen this, but you can take an unfaithful man, and here's what I used to think, give them a work and it'll make them faithful. It won't do it. I've proved it repeatedly. You can't make an unfaithful man faithful unless God makes him faithful. And if you're not faithful in little things, don't expect the Lord to entrust you with big things. I believe that's what it's saying. Let's read on. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you've not even been faithful in giving out your money, he's telling these Pharisees, who will commit to you your trust the true riches? Why would I give you the truth when you won't even use your money right? Verse number 12, and if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? I see a lot of folks, they want their own work. They wouldn't help nobody else in their work. Why would they trust him with their own work? I mean, I think that's what it's saying. I mean, they're just unfaithful folk, and they're not going to be faithful. And you can get upset with me or bothered with me, but it's just so. And let's go to verse 13, and I'll close it out here in just a minute. No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me say that another way. You cannot serve God in Little League. I know true believers. I'm convinced they're believers. They're more dedicated to coaching their Little League team than they are the house of God. You cannot serve God and your children. Let's get on the family. You cannot serve God in your job. Someone has to be the master. And I mentioned good things. You're supposed to work. You're supposed to have a job. But it's not supposed to be your God. Now you can do what the Pharisees did in verse 14. They heard all these things and they derided him. They made light of him. The preacher's just trying to belittle us. I'm not trying to belittle you. I love you. I want you to understand this church has a stewardship we're responsible for. I don't just have meetings so we can all gather up and I can rob your week and your days of rest and time to take care of your personal. I don't do that for that. I'm just as busy as you are. I promise you that. I've got things that's, if you looked around my house, you'd think I was lazy, I guess. There's things that I need to do and I've got to do. I just hadn't been able to squeeze it in. And if you put the Lord first, I'm pretty sure you might find yourself there. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn or anything like that, but I do try to put the work of the Lord first. And when you do, there's just times your stuff has to be secondary. Ain't no way around it. Here's a fellow who had wasted his stewardship, but he had a little time left. And he used that stewardship that he had left to take care of the future. He invested for eternity, if I could say it that way. And my, I think that's what we ought to do. Here's what I would do sometime. I'd just sit down and figure how many years you got left. I mean, just let's just do a little projected planning. How many years do you have left? How many hours out of the week do you have that you could really give to the work of the Lord? How much does the Lord want you to give financially? I think it'd be good for you to just sit down and plan. Can you give the Lord 10% of your day, 2.4 hours? Now here's what you do. You just take Sunday and say, that's 1/7, so I'm in good shape. What a lot of folks do. That's the Lord's day. Let's take them other 6 days though, and let's figure 10% on that. See what God did. I might be a good starting point. I don't know. I'm just asking you. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to come back and I'm closing right here. I preached long tonight and I'm going to close out. Right here it is. You're a steward. You're either a good steward or a bad steward. If you've been a bad steward, you don't have to continue to be a bad steward. You make a change. You can invest what you have left. What you have control of, it may not be much, but you can invest it for eternity if you choose to. You've got things that God has put you over. He's put you over material goods. He's put you over time and God-given opportunities and gifts and abilities and the talents that's particular to you. He's put you over the truth of the Word of God. And what are you going to do with it? You say, it's just a short time. I just got a short time. My life. But what can you do in that short time? Here's what I want to ask you. What does God want you to do with what time you have left? With what money you have left? With what ability you have left? Would you give it to Him tonight? That's my message. Brother Bud, let's get a song tonight. I don't know. I don't know if you... I certainly didn't intend for it to sound like I was being attackful tonight. I don't feel that way. In my heart, I don't feel one bit. I don't feel hard at a soul in this building. I'm not trying to smack your hands and get you straightened out. I'm not trying to do any of that. But I do want you to realize you're a steward. You're going to give an account to God. Young folks, you're going to give an account to God. You're going to give an account to Him. And it's a sober thing to me. And I've heard some folks say they've always served the Lord and they've always done right. I can't say that for my Christian life. There's been some cold times. There's been some times I've not done what I ought to have done. I'll have to give an account for that. There's been some times I've just been lazy. There's been some times I've just been carnal. I've just not been sold out like I needed to. Didn't know what I ought to have done. I just wonder, maybe the Lord spoke to you, maybe He didn't, but I've give you what God give me. And I'm going to give it to you now. God spoke to your heart. Be obedient. Brother Bud's going to sing. Let's bow our heads. Just you and God. God spoke to you. Obey Him tonight. Sing.